Let's be real. This is the episode you listen to hold you off until the Warpies next week.
You are now listening to the Warp World Podcast. Boom shakalaka.
Welcome to episode 178 of the Warp World Podcast, the premier podcast for gaming news, discussion, hot takes, and everything outside or in between. I am X-Water, and here with me is my co-host, Jaku.
Hello, it is I, Jaku.
It is the one and only, well, the two and only, the two of us. And next week, we will be having a very special guest on, the beloved and dearly missed Grant Pooh Bear, going to be back here in the studio with us, fake studio.
It's been so long.
It's what, November was the last time we had him on a show?
No, not like November. Early November. No, I think it was
maybe late October.
I think it was October.
I think November was, yeah.
Yeah.
We ran through a lot of guests so far in between here.
Yeah. But yeah, he's been gone for a while. We were lucky we did the stream yesterday with him, and it was like, it kind of felt like the podcast.
Yeah. I even brought up the podcast topic. Like, we started talking game of the year.
Yeah.
A little bit. Since we didn't get to talk about it with him, it was nice to, you know, shoot the shit about gaming news.
Yep. I mean, he had some different takes on it all, but we all kind of agreed about the game that got it, shouldn't have gotten it. But regardless, it was neat yesterday. Yesterday was fun. And I'm sure he's excited to get back to the podcast. I know he's been busy with those NFL people.
Yeah. So. Seems like he's always got like a ton of stuff going on between Fall Mania and his other events and the NFL, and you know, he keeps busy.
He's keeping busy. All right, we're all keeping busy.
Oh, absolutely.
We all got our things. So
yeah, absolutely, for sure. It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from The Rock. I really like the whole idea, like, it always be the hardest worker in the room. Like, a lot of our team kind of gives off that vibe, you know, people who really put their all into everything that they do.
Yeah. There's like a saying, like, if you're the smartest person in the room, it's time to find a new room sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So X-Water, I got to say, I got to find a new room.
Wow. Bringing it out. 2021's Jaku's New Year's resolution is be fucking nicer.
I'll try.
You know what? It means I'm in the right room at least. So.
There you go. But yeah, no, it's like that's a fun one. And like with work, like if you're getting like, I guess content and or just comfortable, it's like you probably should be on looking for something new. Unless like you're older, obviously. But like if you're 20, 30s, and probably even 40s, and you're like comfortable at your job, it's probably time to find something new. Otherwise, like, that's what you're going to be stuck doing. Unless you're really content with what you're doing, then it's fine.
Exactly. Like, but if there's like the level of like, that's what you're into, that's what you like, you're comfortable with that. And
yeah,
that's the situation where it's like, yeah, that's cool. And keep on. Why mess with a good thing at that point? Right.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, it's, find the room you want to be in. That's what it is.
And then burst through that door. Just slam it down. Don't let anybody say you can't come in the room because that's your room.
How'd they get in there? They probably did the same thing you're trying to do.
Yeah. You either get invited into the room or you invite yourself.
Exactly.
Honestly, a lot of the times you can go into a room and act like you're supposed to be there.
Oh,
and
my.
No one will question it.
That works so often. And
so much more than people think.
Oh yeah. And like there, it's a big meme, like, oh, carry a clipboard and all that stuff, and like, yeah, it's technically true.
It's true.
But yeah, it's all about the attitude. If you go in someplace and you act like you belong there, nobody wants to second guess you. You know, a lot of people have a fear of like, oh, what if that's like the CEO or the CEO's son or something, and they don't know, you know, anything like that, and it's like they don't want to be wrong. On the other hand, you know, calling somebody out for being in the wrong room or like not being where they should is also a potential like good thing to do, because like, one, you might actually catch somebody, but two, if you're calling, like if you actually call out, like, let's say a CEO or somebody or an executive about like not having a badge or being in an area they shouldn't be, like that can also look good to to them because they're like, hey, this person's actually like paying attention. It's like, who is this person? It rarely goes wrong, but
yeah, it would. I think that's pretty accurate. You're rarely going to have like a situation where it's going to be anything more than like, no, I can be here. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, like, oh, I can be here, but you're right. I should have this out, or I should, like, I'm new. You've never seen me before, so you had a reason to call me out. So good job.
Yeah. Like, I think about times that I've been in, like, the GDQ room without my badge showing, and people will be like, you wear that badge. And I'm like, oh, shit, you're right. Yeah. I should go get that.
GDQ is an interesting one. Like, I get it. Like there was one night I forgot my badge, and, like, we're not even in a... We're like in a practice room, but like we're going over like the commentary for a game or something. And it's like 2 a.m. And it's like, dude, like I get it, but like really? Like
cut me some slack, please.
Like yeah. I'm gonna be back in 10 minutes, but like we could be done in 10 minutes. Like I get it, but and so like that's one of those things is like I can't get mad at them for enforcing the rules. Because
you can be annoyed, but you can't feel like they did the wrong thing.
Right, yeah. Because they do it every single time. There is no cutting you a slack, which is why I respect them and I hate them at the same time. Because like, yeah, there's times where you could cut some slack, but I get it. They'd run a type ship, and that's important. But yeah, GDQs are pretty good at that sort of stuff. If you had those types of people like working as security guards elsewhere, oh man, places would be so much more secure.
Yeah. Think about I can't remember what it was where
it's TwitchCon.
No, yeah, it was you when you got into when you got onto the plane with your fucking
Twitter,
with your verified Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Like, imagine GDQ being like, I can be in here. Look, I'm verified on Twitter. He's like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, GDQ would probably be like, no, that's not how it works. But freaking TSA is like, yeah, sure, that sounds fine. I thought you were going to tell the story about us getting into TwitchCon early.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as we were talking. That was a very much like, act like you should be there and no one's going to say shit. Yeah,
that was great, though. We got to play Plinko.
Like, right away.
Yeah. Like,
oh, man, hey. I wish we would have got sick prizes. I got like 100 bits or something.
Yeah, we got bits. But hey, it worked out either way. I was winning that line with normal people.
Dude, there's people who were at that TwitchCon waiting in that line for like an hour, two hours just to do a plank. Man, like,
I'm not a line person. Like,
not a line person. I don't, especially at a con that I flew to be at, right. You know?
It's like for me, the line has to be an experience. And so like camping for a game or a system, sure. But like if I'm at an amusement park and there's a line for a 30-second ride and it's going to be an hour, I'm not going to have fun in that line. And is that 30 seconds really worth that hour of waiting in line? Not really.
Yeah, the amusement park's a tough example because there's no alternative really, though.
Fast pass.
Like, obviously if you can, you know, work the fast pass system to your advantage, then you got to be smart about how you're hitting the rides. But like, if you're going to Cedar Point, you're going to be on those rides and you just like, that's one of those ones where it's like, you gotta wait.
Yeah. It's just like when you put a price to your time and whatnot, like, it's like, this is not valuable, but you know, same thing people would say about us waiting in lines for games. Like they're like, oh no, it's totally experiences, man, they're great. But to me, I was never a ride person, so that one's lost on me. But either way, lines are just they're horrible. We don't need them.
Have you ever been to Cedar Point?
I've been to Cedar Point, Six Flags, and Orlando Studios, and some
Cedar Point didn't win you over.
Nope.
So I wasn't too much of a ride person until Cedar Point. Cedar Point was like the point where I was like, okay, this is sick.
Yeah, no, like I'll go on rides, but like I'm not like, oh man, let's make sure we go hit that park up every summer. So it's not on my list. Okay.
Yeah. It's maybe every couple of years is like what would be the coolest for me is like, you know, Cedar Point's not a yearly trip, but I definitely love going when it's been a while.
Gotcha.
I bet you Cedar Point's the kind of place where you could weasel your way to the front of the line and be like, Yeah, I'm the line safety inspector. I'm the ride safety inspector. I need to ride this ride. I need to be at the front, please. Just get a vest and a clipboard.
You could mention that you're like part of a press thing and you're doing some reviews or something.
You got the strats.
You just drop a name, you know, you're like, oh yeah, so you know, you figure out who the boss is of the park, right? And you just you drop their name to anybody there and you're like, yeah, Frank told me to tell you I'm doing this piece and to let me in the ride. And he's like, oh, okay.
Like, I'm on a real tight schedule. I got to review each of these rides today. So,
yeah,
you know, the faster the better.
Yeah. Just drop a name. And like, if you don't know a name, pick a generic name, like a John or a George. Well, not George. George isn't any generic name anymore. But a John's usually pretty good. John's lots of Chris's. Good, yeah. Mike's.
Mike, I feel, is pretty. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Mike's pretty common.
So
Mike's a David. Good name. I like Mike.
Yeah. You pick those four and you're probably good.
Yeah.
There's no Davids on this podcast yet.
man, I'm so next week when he's back, we're doing the Warpies. That's going to be very exciting. I'm excited to do them because I was re-listening to last year's show and
good idea.
I've got some ideas for how we can rework our method a little bit here, and I want to know what you think.
Okay.
So I'm thinking we've gone kind of up until now where we'll have the categories ahead of time and we'll each nominate and then we'll each vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a little tricky because there's only three of us. So
it's
three nominees and three votes. And a lot of the time we can get into these like weird stale, like it's basically whoever votes first has the most power because you need one more person to win guaranteed at that point. And there's like these weird, like, It's an interesting way that it runs.
It could be a biased vote. Yeah.
So my idea is that unlimited nominations from any of us at the time of the show, you know, we can obviously prep beforehand, but unlimited nominations. And then we just argue about it until we come to a unanimous decision.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to make us like vote, like all of us vote anonymously. And then
no,
like,
I think okay. I love arguing about stuff that's not important. As long as the people involved, and obviously, like, we are friends, so we can, you know, handle ourselves. As long as the people involved understand that, like, you know, this needs to move along. Don't worry about taking an L if you on one. Like, just agree and just move on if we have to, kind of thing.
Makes sense. Let's do it.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Creativity with the rules this year.
Yeah, that should make it pretty fun and different. We can get a similar viewer count as the Game Awards show too, if we go with that. I think
I think our awards are at least going to be a little bit more distributed than theirs.
That's true, or at least be good on that side.
Yeah,
and I haven't got any bribes from anybody. So,
I haven't even considered getting bribes. Shit, I got to start asking about that.
I don't think you ask for bribes. I think that just sort of happens,
but you know? Like, you know, I could put my foot forward on it.
Okay, yeah, I guess he could.
I bet you if I asked like
Cliffy,
I could probably, yeah, I could probably get Cliffy.
yeah
I could probably get Cliffy to go for a particular, you know, be like, yo, you want this Warpy this year? Because I'll fight tooth and nail for you.
I'll get you a Warpy.
What would Cliffy's got a lot of Warpy potential this year, I feel like. I mean, he's got an Emmy this year. So we maybe don't want to overload him with the awards, you know, don't want to let him get too cocky, but
yeah, maybe keep him down a peg. You know, maybe we nominate him for a Warpy, but we can guarantee he doesn't get one.
Oh.
That's what we do.
Imagine that being the stipulation when you nominate someone. I'd like to nominate Cliffy, but I want to very expressly say that I only want to nominate him and we can't vote for him.
Yes. Let's just do a truce right now, me and you, and that way we can do it.
Comes down to it, and like for the person who had the best nap on stream, how am I not going to vote for Cliffy?
I don't know if you saw this, but he wasn't napping. He was writing a message.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So that's how you don't vote for that.
Fair enough. That reminds me. Have you ever seen those like little meme videos of it's someone like walking around and then they'll start falling and then they'll trip and their butt will hit a guitar or a drum or something?
Oh, yeah.
And then it'll start like playing a song. Like you'll start hearing Wonderwall, and the guy has like his hands through the butt of his shorts playing the music.
Yeah.
Those crack me the fuck up, dude.
Yeah. Those are pretty damn funny. I like it.
You think any Warpies are in your future this year?
I think I might get one or two. We'll see.
Yeah. I'd hate to go Warpie-less this year, but I can't think of what I might win one in. It was a smooth sailing kind of year for me.
Most bullied.
Most bullied. Yeah, that's... Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take that.
That's fair. I'll try to be nicer to you next year. We'll see.
We got a good thing going. I wouldn't stress it.
All right. All right. We'll figure it out. Yeah. All right. Well, before we get into some news, we should, thank some of our Patreon members out there.
That's a good idea, because we don't do that often enough on the main show here. We were talking about it in our intro show, where we're like, man, Patreons are so dope, dude. And of course, they get to hear the banter episode.
Oh, it's so good today.
It always is, dude. It's the best part of the show.
Yep.
It's that or the side quest, Johns, honestly. The side quest, Johns, is...
We should put that behind a paywall.
Ooh.
Maybe we charge $1 to send a question in.
I think we're already kind of low this week as is.
Yeah, but you put a price on it. Now people are like, oh, it's worth something.
Now
they're like knocking on your door. But thanks, Patreons. You guys are amazing. Keep the lights on, all of them. And you help us do a lot of stuff. So if you're not a Patreon member, you should probably become a Patreon member, because you get a lot of cool stuff.
And you can find all the details about that at patreon.warp.world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But we got some news. It's a slow week. Game Awards just went out last week. It's the holiday season. All the games are out or being removed. And not a lot going on right now, but we got some stuff. We found some stuff that's topical for you all.
Yeah. End of December is always slow news wise, but we got enough. We're going to have a show here. Okay. It's going to work.
Yeah.
It's going to work. All right. So, what do you say we started off with some of the Twitch news this week? Cause I think that's probably the biggest set of news we got to work with.
Absolutely.
So we covered it previously. I think it was last week that we talked about it, how Twitch has got their new, harassment policy in terms of service coming into effect in January, but there was a Twitch town hall little presentation I think yesterday or the day before, and it was announced that I don't know if it's starting immediately, but there's going to be a stronger anti-harassment policy taken surrounding the terms simp, virgin, and incel, which is a very interesting piece of news. So let's unpack this. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, because how are we supposed to greet you now? They took all three of them from us.
Listen, okay? Listen. Only one of those three could possibly apply to me sometimes, because I simp the homies, dude, okay? But that's it.
That was just so easy. I had to.
Low-hanging fruit, yeah.
Yeah, I had to get it out. But yeah,
it is an interesting, I don't know, I feel like it opens up a lot of discussion about the effectiveness of curbing online harassment, because it is a problem on Twitch. It absolutely is. And I'm not going to be the one to sit here and be like, well, fucking idiots trying to do something to, make people get bullied less. But I don't necessarily think they're taking a very effective approach here.
They're not fixing the symptom, not the problem. I don't know. Something along those lines. There's a saying.
Yeah, I know
what
you're getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem isn't these words. It's certain people and the fact that there is no repercussions for people right now. Like, you go into a chat and like somebody can say whatever the hell they want. Okay, they get banned. They go and create a new account and they do it again, and maybe they get banned and then they do it again. And like, it doesn't matter how many times you report them and you're like, hey, these are the same person. All three accounts are the same person. Twitch doesn't do anything to the viewers They're banned streamers for accidental, nudity on things all the time. There's a streamer right now that's like banned for like showing a horse dick or something, I think, for like a second. And it's like, he clicked a link and it was, an accidental, like he shouldn't have clicked the link, but also like it was up for a second and like he completely.
Yeah, something like, that was absolutely like a genuine accident. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I get it. Like, but like.
There's the rules and the rules. Like, I totally the rules. Agree.
But yeah. The rules are also don't ban evade and whatnot. And like, there's nothing stopping you from that. We obviously the Mario Maker or the Mario community understands that one. Mm-hmm. Particularly well because of the harassment that they go through every single day from a few individuals. So I think the problem isn't the words that people are saying or people being mean to people. I think it's the enforcement. I think the enforcement of the problems is the issue. And like Twitch has time over time has been like, oh, we're going to do something about it. We promise. And like this just still feels like an empty promise until we start seeing things. So maybe come January 20th or whatever it is, maybe we do start seeing some people actually get, reprimanded for this behavior, and that will fix the problem. And then in 2 years, we can start calling people simps again in a funny, I guess it's always an insult in some way, but it's like a friend insult most of the time. These times, I don't know, it's weird. I think like the focus shouldn't be on the words; it should be on the people.
Yeah, and to elaborate as well, like there was a explicit elaboration where. The term, like the words themselves, like you're not going to be banned if you write extra virgin olive oil. You're not going to be banned if you're like, I'm still a virgin. Like I haven't had sex yet. But like if you use these words to like you run into someone's stream and you go, look at this loser incel virgin, whatever. Like that is using those words in a rude way and meant to essentially bully that person or make them feel bad. And that is. What I, at least to my understanding, what this policy is saying, which in my head is like, why use these three words in particular instead of just saying harassment won't be tolerated?
Yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, there's going to be so many words that could pop up next year that are going to be just as bad as these words,
right? Like
in Twitch's mind, but now what you have to update your dictionary of bad words. Also, if I go into your stream and I'm like, look at this incel virgin simp winner. Now, like, is that not an insult? Is that
there's
okay then?
There's going to need to be context there. There's, it's who's saying like, it? Is it you who's saying it because you're my friend and you and I bust each other's chops? Is it fucking Joe Schmo who pisses me off when he comes into my live stream? Because fuck that guy. Get him out of here.
Yeah. But like the problem is like if Twitch is looking at that from just, their point of view, the word winner right there, it's like, oh, well, he's being positive. He thinks that's a good thing. So like it's hard. It's hard to know the context of people's words behind them without knowing the full story. And there's no way Twitch has the manpower to look at the chat and enforce. Exactly.
They already can't enforce their current terms of service well enough. And like we see it time and time again where they misban, they fail to ban people who do actually like cross lines, and then someone gets tricked into clicking a horse dick picture and they do get banned, right? Like when and I hate to beat a dead horse here,
especially with a dick that large,
but like if someone's gonna get banned for the accidental showing of the horse dick, then why did Alinity not get banned for the accidental showing of her nipple, right? It's the exact same thing. Both were accidental at that point. And so the lack of consistency, and I really hate using that example because I know a lot of people with the wrong intentions in mind will use her as an example. And that's not where I'm trying to get at, but
yeah,
I think consistency is lacking.
Yeah. I think calling attention to the inconsistency, like we need the GDQ people. We need those enforcers working at Twitch is like, this is where, them sticking to the rules for everyone makes sense. And this is like, that's why, again, I don't like that GDQ does it, but I'm not mad that they do it. Like, I understand and I think it's good. I still don't like it just because.
Yeah.
But
they're very rigid. But
I respect
at least
it.
At least you know what to expect with
you
them.
You know.
Like,
and that's what really happens with Twitch. Like, anything, any stream that we do, like right now, something could happen where we get banned because it was out of our control,
Yeah.
Webcam got hacked and shows a nipple. You know, maybe the shadow from the lights casts a dick on my face. I don't know. And Twitch is like, oh, that looks like a dick. Done. You know, or maybe we say dick too much and they're like, yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah. We could just be dropping too much in this show.
Yeah. It's just too much inconsistency. Not enough like actual follow through is the problem. And again, them focusing on the words, like they like to focus on certain things, but it really doesn't matter at the end of the day because they're focusing on the wrong side of things. And
yeah, to me, it feels like a lot of empty gestures from them recently.
Oh,
between the blind playthrough thing, like without actually doing anything on the website to try and increase, like to try and make it more usable for the blind user to just be like, yeah, we banned blind playthrough. We got rid of the tag because we thought it was bad. Like it just feels like an empty gesture. Like we're just trying to go for look at us virtue signal points or whatever. I don't know what you want to call it, but
yeah.
Actions speak louder than weird announcements.
It's weird because like there's not a lot of tooltip like overlays on things on Twitch's website. There's a few, like if I hover over the follow unfollow button, it lets me know, oh, that's an unfollow button right now. But like if I hover over the resubscribe button, it doesn't tell me anything. It doesn't let me know what that is. If I hover over images, like it doesn't. And like that's all part of it, accessibility, especially for like blind people, so it can tell them what it is. Obviously, some buttons that have text in it, so it's easy, but a little icon with nothing, you need to know what it says. And so, like, yeah, for them to block or to remove blind playthrough but not actually have any accessibility tools on their website is silly.
It's tone deaf, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, you need to do both. You need to, like, okay, so you've identified that maybe blind pay through is not right, but what's your next step in that? Is it to increase the visibility of your services and accessibility of your site? Or did you think you're done? Because that's what it sounds like. Same with this. Oh, we you can't say simp, virgin, incel. We're done. We've solved harassment. Like, that's
exactly.
It feels like they think one step's enough and like everything else will just fall in line. And that's the problem. We see it.
I'd be interested in your opinion on this. How like challenging and viable is it to like ban a user through their IP to basically like the Mario Maker community experience with that particular user that, you know, we're not gonna bring the name out on, but like something like that where someone is clearly ban evading, with your experience in security, how effective is it to fight that? Like, what is a way you would do so?
So IP bans don't work because VPNs and people use the same IP all the time. If you know, you and your brother, when you lived together, like if you got banned, that would be horrible for your brother and vice versa. So IP bans by themselves are not good. But like one of the things that Twitch lets you sign up with multiple accounts that are the same email address. Mm-hmm. That's one big like indicator. Like you don't need to tell the streamer, that this user has the same email address as this other user. But maybe there could be a ban option where if I ban this user, I ban all usernames that use the same email or that have that email address assigned to it. They know that. I don't need to know, but like it just happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd
be one way to curb it. But like obviously people can modify it or have multiple email addresses. Everyone knows the Google trick where you add periods or you add a plus to the back of your email. So like, if your email was jaku@gmail.com, jaku plus anything here at gmail.com goes to jaku still. Or you could do j.a.k.u@gmail.com and it still goes to jaku@gmail.com. Uh-huh. So like knowing that though, you could easily write up a script to ignore those special cases and still ban the person that has a matching email address. Will they do that? No, because it's Twitch. So going based on email is one thing. If there was a setting, and this is Twitch would never do this, but this would solve the problem overnight. At least the majority of it. A require user to have two-factor to chat feature.
To chat. If
all your users have to have two-factor as well, that has to go to a phone number. Not everyone, and you can't have I think you can have one or two accounts under the same phone number, but you can't have like 20 under the same phone number. So eventually scammers would run out of phone numbers that mm-hmm. they could use, or it would cost them a lot of money. And so like that'd be one way. It's very hard at the end of the day to really block somebody from finding a way around it. But there's a lot of things that you could do to kind of make it easier for the streamers and the broadcasters and the moderators. And I think the two-factor thing, like, again, they won't do it mainly because that prevents
it
people
adds
from
a barrier
chatting.
Of, yeah, it adds a barrier of complication for the end user, which a lot of, like, they did start in, like, making streamers do it, right? Like, if you stream, you have to have two-factor, which is awesome.
And there is the verification account where you have to have your email verified mm-hmm. To chat. But, like, if they did two-factor, like, that would go a long way. You would see a lot of spam, like, just reduced.
Then at that point, would it be possible to maybe not IP ban, but to IP enforce two-factor?
Yeah, that would be a good way to do it for sure. VPNs would still be like a way around it, but at least, you know, that barrier of entry when you ban an IP, now they got to change their VPN or something. So it's a little better. But if they want to use that IP, then they got to do two-factor. That would be a good compromise for sure.
Yeah. There's no way to MAC address ban someone, is there?
No, the MAC address is local to your network, so it never gets past your router, essentially.
Fair. Yeah.
And you can change your MAC address. But
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, it's most OSs have a feature for it, even Windows and Mac. But you can change your MAC address. Most routers clone a MAC address. They will clone the MAC address of your PC. Because that's how a lot of the original like computers worked. For cable modems and stuff, you get the technician, they'd come out, they'd plug in the modem, they'd connect it to your PC, they'd leave, and then you'd take your router out, and you would clone the MAC address of your PC to the router, so they have no idea. Yeah. But I was going to say something about banning and MAC addresses. There is fingerprinting. You can fingerprint a browser, and you can get fairly confident results and very unique results per user. And so you could build up a profile of a user. And that's what Google CAPTCHA does, is it basically gets a profile of your account and your browser and your history and stuff. And so like it could tell like with a pretty good certainty if you're a bot or if you're with human based on your prior activity and stuff and where it's seen your fingerprint. And so it would be a lot of work again for Twitch to do this. But if they start fingerprinting users a little bit more, then they could easily be like, oh, hey, this user signed out and then signed into this account. We know it's this person, though, because like 99% of their browser matches this fingerprint and it's very unique. There's always a case for, you know, false negative there, but or false positive, I guess. But at the end of the day, like privacy might be a little big concern for users there if Twitch is fingerprinting your browser so much. So they might not want to go that route.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes a lot of sense, too, because privacy is definitely something people are starting to value more and more and more as they should, obviously. Absolutely. Yeah. But
I don't know. It's tough because like I do in order to really have a good system in place, a user has to give up some privacy, either by a phone number or a credit card or something that's going to be fairly unique to that individual and can't be that one wouldn't give away because it would do more harm to them than good to give away.
Mm-hmm. But I do think we had like a couple of like good trains here where the two factor can be like this important key to the equation where maybe without two factor on your account, you're still allowed to use Twitch, chat, watch, everything the same way you do, just maybe in a more limited fashion where like maybe you in particular are in slow mode because you are mm-hmm. not, you don't have 2FA on, or maybe you in particular can't chat for the first 5 minutes of being in a room because you don't have 2FA on. So like to incentivize two-factor, but to also make it so the experience works for people who don't like do it, because I'm sure there has to be like a very large number of users out there who just have no concept of what it is, like what to do with it, anything about two-factor, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and Twitch isn't going to be the platform that's going to be like, I'm about to teach you about security and enforce this on you. But it's the same reason Twitch doesn't do the, like, doesn't have an age restriction on accounts to chat. Like, that's another thing that would be fairly simple for users to be able to implement. And it's like, hey, if this account's less than 24 hours old, I don't want it chatting in my chat because it's probably a spammer.
Yeah.
Obviously, the problem is some new users might be like, oh, I didn't know, you know, X user from YouTube is a streamer. I want to go say hi. But a lot of those channels already have follow only mode. And like, that's already that's like, true. But so that's one thing. But the other alternative, obviously, scammers and these bots can just go and create an account and then just sit on it for a month and then use it. So
yeah, create a whole mess of accounts to use. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an interesting problem. It's a tough one, though. There's not a silver bullet to this problem.
No, absolutely not. And I think the big like thing that needs to happen is a shift in the way people behave in society, in online in general. Like, it's one of those things that like, it's not necessarily directly a Twitch problem. It's a problem with like, people just kind of fucking suck, like, you know.
Yeah,
like, a lot of people are just rude assholes, hateful, and we got to keep pushing forward to change that. But Twitch is not the only part of that equation.
Yeah, what's interesting is both YouTube and Facebook, though, they don't necessarily have this problem because they aren't just a live streaming platform. Both Facebook and YouTube have, like, Facebook, obvious, like, they know everything about you.
Yeah.
If you create an account and it's not a real person, they pretty much know, and you will get banned. That account will get banned, like, within 24 hours. It's insane. They have so good detection on that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's pissing off a lot of Oculus users because like they have to have a Facebook account. And they're like, well, I made a fake Facebook account and I linked my Oculus and now they caught me and now my Oculus is paperweight. It's like, number one, told you that was going to happen. Number two, sucks. But like, what'd you think was going to happen? Not a fan of that. But like at the end of the day, you know, Facebook has that information and they can use that. And now you're not going to have so many people going to Facebook chats to spam that sort of stuff. I'm sure they still get some harassment, but like it's tied to a real identity at the end of the day. And Facebook, it takes that pretty seriously.
Yeah.
YouTube,
stripping anonymity or whatever, yep. How it's pronounced, definitely increases people's shitty side on the internet.
Oh yeah, absolutely. People that are anonymous, like they will shit on anything. Have you seen the movie Guns Akimbo?
Actually, yeah, I have.
Yeah. Like case in point, right?
Right? He's a fucking shitter up until he's like confronted in person, right?
Yeah. And then he turns out to be pretty good at what he does, but all basically by accident. Weird movie.
That movie was wild. Yeah. Just for the listeners' reference, Guns Akimbo is Harry Potter, but there's guns stapled to his fucking hands because he was a
shit talker on the internet.
Yeah. Yep. It's the wildest movie of all time.
It's a little graphic in certain areas, but yeah, it's interesting. And then the alternative is obviously YouTube, and YouTube's owned by Google, who has all your data as well. So yep. Like you can't. So Twitch is in a very unique position to keep you anonymous enough, even though yeah, they are owned by Amazon that probably could do this, but they're not leveraging that. I guess yeah, that does make sense now. Like I don't know why I didn't. But because Amazon really doesn't do anything with Twitch, like
it feels like they let Twitch exist and they're like, all right, well, just keep making money. Do your thing.
They do put some direction out there. Obviously, Twitch does get some things from Amazon's like, hey, make more money.
Yeah. Like run 8 billion more ads a day, please.
But at the end of the day, Amazon's like not like, hey, here's our user base to pull data from. Like it's like. Yeah, it's a little different for sure on that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like if you had to link your if all Twitch accounts had to have Amazon accounts, I bet you'd have less harassment.
Oh, at the end of the day. Oh, so, absolutely. Where like if you're punished on Twitch, it's like it carries over to your other accounts in some way, right? Like if you get caught being an asshole on Twitch, maybe like you can't. I don't know. You can't log into your Amazon account, order your protein bars, or you can't watch The Boys on Prime Video or whatever because you got
looked
banned.
At my protein bars when you said that. I don't think Amazon would ever want to punish people from spending money, but they could, you know, reward users. You know, you're chatting on Twitch, so they give you a few pennies here and there. And then if you get banned, you get your rewards taken away.
Ah, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'd be very effective in stopping anyone, though.
Maybe not, but like at the end of the day, at least it's something.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
Incentivizes good behavior at the very least.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard problem.
It's a very hard problem to crack. Like, I wish there was like a solution, but people suck.
If you could find a way to solve this problem, you'd be super rich.
Yeah.
But number two, you'd make the world a better place. So if anyone's got any out there ideas, hear them. Like, let's try them out. Let's see what we can do. Who knows? Twitch also did something else today, though.
You know, harassment is not okay, but you know what is?
Gambling. Yeah. But only if you're Twitch.
Only if you're Twitch. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Twitch finally released channel points predictions, which has been out for a few partner streamers for a little bit. And what it is it allows a streamer to set up a prediction that says, like, hey, is this streamer going to beat this level in the next 2 minutes? Yes or no. And you can use your channel points to put a bid in or to go into the pot. And if you win, you get a percentage of the loser's channel points. And so it doesn't create channel points out of nowhere, which is good. It does, however, give you a good indicator of how many channel points people have in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Pooh Bear was using it earlier, and his pots were filling up to 2 to 3 million channel points, like almost instantly. And so, like, I almost want to be like, all right, Twitch, you were like, we're not going to give you this data, but you just kind of gave us this data. And so, like, so what you could do now is you could set up a prediction and be like, all right, chat, I'm going to choose yes to this. If you put any of your channel points into no, you're losing them. So everyone say yes to this. We're just getting a count of how many channel points people have in general.
What if you just real big brain them and just did no after that anyway?
Right, exactly.
Got them.
Oh, they'd be so pissed. But it'd be so funny. That'd be the huge troll.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the fact that there's that many channel points out there is huge. Obviously, we know that Twitch just released channel points for APIs and third-party developers back in November, which, you know, we took advantage of with crowd control. But this feature, so two things with this feature. One, finally, I guess, is what I'm going to say. Finally, you gave us something else to do with channel points. But, like, you gave it to us after you made it easy for developers to do stuff. And then two, you made it so that developers can't use this. And or do anything like this.
Twitch.
Like,
they're always like take a step forward, but you also stepped in mud.
Yeah. It's so, like, as a developer, we can't make our own predictions. We can't do any sort of betting. We've tried to do betting pools and stuff through extensions and other ideas we've had. And like, no, we can't allow any sort of betting. We don't want to do anything like that. And so in this case, though, they do when it's their idea, I guess. It's a little different because channel points.
It's a prediction. So
yeah,
you
exactly.
Know.
It's a prediction. Exactly. So like it's nice to finally see, but like this is something that should have been out 6 months to a year ago. This should have almost launched with channel points because there was.
I totally agree. Yeah, there was nothing to do with them. They were useless. They were. It was, so this is funny because when I was re-listening to the Warpies from last year, your nomination for best Twitch feature of the year was channel points.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how right now it looks like they got nothing, but they have potential. And this is the potential come into life. The implementation with crowd control now. Developers can use them. The predictions. People, look at Barb's chat. People love the betting with the channel points. It has been such a, it's probably going to be feature this year for the Warpies, if I had to take a guess. But like, it's a year after.
It's a full year.
It's not
year.
That quick of a feature.
No, it's not anything that would have taken more than a month of engineering, to be honest.
And I feel like you're being a little bit gracious there too.
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Big business things take a long time.
Yeah. But like if this was in the plan as they were making it, it wouldn't have added much to their, you know, implementation time.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I wasn't able to bet on Grand Pooh Bear's channel earlier, and I don't know why. Like I wasn't seeing any error, but I wasn't seeing anywhere to do it. I was seeing the results come in and stuff. It was very strange. But I still think channel points are a good thing, but like they keep kind of like, I don't know, they're stepchilding it. Like it's their stepchild. They're like, oh, it's up in the closet or whatever. It's upstairs doing whatever. Who knows?
Oh my God. That's the first time I've heard stepchilding it.
Hey, sometimes, you know, it's true. Oh, mods can't bet. Apparently that's why. Mods can't bet with channel points.
Oh, dude, I would unmod myself in some channels just for the privilege.
Right. Like is it because we can create bets and I guess
maybe because mods can manage and create them, yeah.
Yeah, that's dumb. So
and they can also choose the winner.
Yeah, they don't want us to Twitch.
It's a fair point because it is exploitable, but like they're your mods. You would assume they're your mods because you can trust them.
Yeah. Like you should be able to remove their mod ship if they do something stupid, but like so many people have friends as mods that they stand out, and like Twitch will be like, oh well, that's what the VIP's for. Yeah, but here's the thing. If like I'm streaming and my friends in chat and something goes down, I'm gonna trust them to also react like a mod in some cases.
Yeah.
Like, so ridiculous. So again, Twitch, come on. What are you doing? It's so close yet so far away.
It is nice to see that the channel points have actually like started to have some sort of value now.
Yeah, there's still more potential to it. I know I've been asking for more features on the API side of things to get it to, I guess, parity of what you can do as a streamer. There's still some things in the API or some things on the site that you can't do in the API that absolutely I would love to do and would make the implementation even better. I've said my piece to the people in charge and we'll see if that ever comes out. But, you know, again, it wouldn't take long to implement. But channel points, come on, keep trying, Twitch. Predictions are good, but make mods be able to do it. And you should have come out with this a year ago.
Yeah, I do feel a little bad sometimes about how critical we are of Twitch, especially like that one day where Pluto tweeted out like, man, everything we do, everyone shits on. And like, yeah. I felt bad because like that's half of our fucking podcast.
I texted him about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Pluto did too, apparently. I'm like, hey, man, like, let me see if I can pull it up. Let me see. No, I just told him, like, you guys try to do certain things here and there and like people shit on that because you're not doing what they want. And like, you know, don't let it get to you. I understand how it feels and stuff. You know, Twitch makes some missteps, but you guys are going down the right path to try to change certain things here and there. And it's a big ship. So, you know, keep strong sort of thing.
Yeah. That's fair. And, you know, being one of the cogs in this massive machine at this point, like, it's not necessarily a reflection on any of the particular people there, any of the criticisms we have of the company, right? Like, there's just I think we can confidently say that since the Amazon acquisition, there have been a lot of good steps forward, but there have been a lot of turns that have been less than dope in the eyes of the general streamer.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to live with those things. I really, like, the further we get along from this post-Mixer shutdown world, the more I wish that they didn't shut down. Because it really did feel like there was a fire lit under their ass a little bit. Not that Mixer was any serious competition beyond the first like month, but of getting Ninja. But like still, it kind of feels like Twitch now has this position where they're like, well, YouTube and Facebook are competition, but they're a very different breed. Like Twitch, I don't think is going to lose anything to Mixer in the long run. Or sorry, to YouTube and Facebook in the long run, because no one wants to no one wants to be on Facebook, dude. Like, no gamer wants to be on Facebook.
Right.
And the general, like, young crowd doesn't want to be on Facebook, right? It's...
Yeah. I mean, Facebook being a monopoly and just, like, antitrust all over the place is going to definitely come up soon. Like, I know so many courts have filed against them on that sort of thing, and something's gonna happen there. Mm. And again, yeah, like, we do shit on Twitch, but again, it's because we care. Like, we really do. We see the missteps and we're like, oh, guys. And like, so many people are like us. We're like, oh, if only they listened to us. And like,
yeah,
it's one, they've paid me for advice at this point. So I get to say, like, yes, listen to me and pay me again. You know, like, they've paid for our services. They've paid for stuff. So, you know, do it more, Twitch, is what I'm saying. So, like, we're in a unique position where, like, they have listened to us in certain regards, which is cool. But we care about the platform because, you know, it's been part of our lives for so many years now. Like, we don't want to see it get shit on and shit on and shit on. We want to see it grow and prosper and stuff. And, like, it's aggravating. And, like, I think I have this spiel every time. But, like, at the end of the day, we just want to see it better. And we don't think that we think that people trying to make it better don't really see what makes it better and are just trying things that others have probably tried and they're like, this is probably good.
Yeah. It's said well. Like, there have been a good few times where at various Twitch cons or events where, like, we've had, you know, Twitch staff be like, hey, let's talk and we'd love to, like, get some feedback from you on things that are coming up or things that we have done. And yep. Getting that from partner streamers is important, but getting that from industry people like Warp World, like the developers who work with Twitch, like I feel like they don't take that feedback as seriously as they should either.
Yeah, there's definitely certain people that I speak to that are like, you know, that think that they should listen to more companies like us and,
oh, absolutely. And follow
through. It's just convincing the higher ups. Like
the higher ups, yeah. There's plenty of individuals at Twitch that are very much on the same page as us. Yeah.
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 It's
a beast.
It is a beast. And again, it's a hard ship to sail. It's a big ship. It's hard to change the direction. But I feel like this podcast has been going on for like 3 years, and I think I've been saying it's a hard ship to sail and it's hard to turn a ship this large. But I think after 3 years, you should be going in a slightly different course than what you were, even if it's difficult. And I feel like right now I'm going to say you're really not far off from the course you were 3 years ago. I feel like you haven't really
been turning
much.
That quick.
Yeah. So get good, Twitch, you simp. We can say that right now, right?
Got him. Oh, and the podcast is banned. All right. All right, Jaku. I think we've been pretty hot with Twitch, but before we get too hot, though. Oh, okay.
Right. I mean, this isn't on the notes, but it did come in my mind.
Let's go.
Do you know how much Bitcoin is right now?
Above 20K?
$23,000 USD.
23.
Yeah.
Hot dog.
What the fuck?
Wow. I saw the above 20K, I think, yesterday or earlier today. I didn't realize 23.
Yeah, the 20 was the barrier. That's a new max. It's an all-time high. If you bought Bitcoin in the last 4 years, you would now be profitable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
even
if you bought Bitcoin in the last 10 years.
When everyone was like, I don't know if I should buy.
So many people are like, oh, it dropped down to 6,000. I'm like, buy. Like, it's not going to
get some.
It's
like, even if you can't afford a full one, you buy 3,000 worth of Bitcoin and that triples, you just made $9,000.
Yeah. You buy what you can afford. Like, at the end of the day, get a little bit of Bitcoin as a treat. You don't know.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. Treat yourself. Like, I think it's, you know, at this point, it's been out for 10 years. Banks are getting very involved in it. Coinbase, the big company that that a lot of people buy and sell their Bitcoin from, they're doing an IPO. They're doing a public offering soon. So they're going to be on the stock exchange and stuff. That's pretty big news. A lot of people are getting into it again because of the prices. But that's like now's not the time, but like the time was to get into it like 2 years ago when it dropped again. But get into it now because like it's probably going to go up. Eventually again. I wouldn't say right away, and don't get into it thinking you're going to get rich. Don't go out and take a loan. But if you got a few $100, put a little bit into Bitcoin and hold on.
Long run, it's probably worth it.
Yeah. Because
yeah,
I'm excited. Xwater's excited. We're all excited. But it's crazy news. And like 23 is a new record. Like it's insane. It's a
big number. It's a big fucking number.
The percentages, and that's the crazy thing, is like the amount for it to go up $1,000 is such a smaller percentage than it was before. That like we're gonna see these big jumps and dips in the thousands, and it's gonna be like, yeah, whatever. That's normal now. Like it's like, what? It's crazy. So just wanted to get that out before we got too hot, because maybe cool down a little bit so that the hot take doesn't get all the heat from the Twitch.
That's got me a little hot either way. Maybe not like spicy hot, but that's got me like
I'm sure Money Mike is super hot.
Yeah, Money Mike's hot. Money Mike's feeling good about that. Money Mike's feeling good. Money Mike has Money Mike's feeling good about buying Cyberpunk on the PlayStation 4 though, Jakku. Why
is that?
Because Money Mike is getting his money back.
Fuck yeah, Money Mike, get your money back.
So to elaborate on this for everybody, Cyberpunk has officially been pulled from the PlayStation Store. It is gone. It is no longer available for purchase on the PlayStation Store, as far as I'm aware. And if you purchased it, then you are eligible for a refund.
Ooh.
And it was just 3 or 4 days ago that Sony was refusing to give refunds for Cyberpunk on the on their console. This is crazy. This is insane. Like this is unprecedented. This has never happened before, where a game has misstepped so. I mean, maybe No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky was close. No Man's Sky was close. Like, I tried to get a refund on Steam, and they said no. And then they're like, we're doing all refunds, and they still said no. So.
Yeah.
And Fallout 76 was kind of like this, too, though. Because I didn't get a refund from them. They refused, but my chargeback went through, and the game is still on my account. So, I don't know.
It's so interesting. I've got an article open here about it, and the board of CD Projekt Red says that the decision was taken following their discussion with Sony regarding a full refund for the game for people who bought it and want a refund. So anyone who purchased it digitally is like you can continue keeping it. You don't have to refund it, and they can still buy physical versions, but as of right now, Cyberpunk not purchasable on the PlayStation 4 shop, and anyone who did can return it. I'm not sure physically what situation you're going to be in for returning the game. I don't know if Walmart will, like, you know, take your refund for Cyberpunk or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if they will. And I'm sure there's a few people out there are like, oh, I'm just gonna, like, and I don't know if like asking for a refund it gets deleted from your account. I'm sure it does, but I bet you like some people will probably be like, I'm just going to turn off my online, ask for a refund, finish the game, and then when I turn it back on, it will get deleted, but at least I won't beat it.
Yeah, that's an interesting, I like that idea. Yeah. I like that idea a lot. You should tell Cliffy to do that.
You should, yeah. But yeah, like at the end of the day, like this is huge. This was the most anticipated game for 8 years.
Yeah.
It finally got released after many delays, and it's being pulled from the PlayStation Store. I think part of this is Sony being like, fuck you, CD Projekt Red, because like when they did that press release a few days ago saying like, hey, go ahead and ask for a refund, like I don't think they communicated directly with Sony about that. I think they were just like, yeah, go ask for a refund. We're telling Sony to let them through. And Sony's like, wait, what? Like, I think that was the first time Sony was hearing it as well. And so Sony's like, fuck these guys. We're just going to pull the game. Because, like, this is bad. It's looking bad on us.
It's embarrassing, honestly. Like,
it really is.
I understand the position that CD Projekt Red was in with, you know, needing the game out this holiday season for whatever reason. But, like, The bottom line of it is they put the game out when it was not finished. They just did. Like, they announced a date that they couldn't hold on to, and then they pushed that back, and they pushed it back again and again and again and again and again and again. And it came to a point where CD Projekt Red is now, like, they, like, this is the kind of embarrassment that I don't feel like you ever get taken away from your reputation. And that is like a layer of trust that the company's not going to have with at least like mass consumers anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's just embarrassing, dude.
It really is.
To have your game be so unfinished on its actual launch date that it gets removed from Sony's shop, and to just pussyfoot around it and act like it's not a big deal. Like, CD Projekt Red is nobody's hero this winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if that game's going to go on to receive any, like, actual acclaim.
I think it's going to, just because, like, so many game devs know, like, hey, and people in the industry know, like, game dev's hard. At the end of the day, this was not by the developers, but by, like, the suits, I guess.
They
were the ones that pushed this through. And so, like, for them to, like, lose any awards and stuff, like, that's more of a spit in the face of the developers and the crunch time. And, like, yeah, I'm not saying, like, it's a good enough excuse for that, but, like, I think that would just do more harm to the developers than the company themselves. So it's hard to say.
Big ups to Sony for taking it off the shop. Like,
yeah,
I like that. I feel like there should be some sort of financial backlash to CD Projekt Red for releasing this unfinished product as if it is, like, it's like, I understand the argument. I see it's in chat, but like, the idea there, like, even Skyrim does the same thing, like Bethesda, but Witcher 3 as well, where the game is released relatively buggy and it gets fixed as time goes on. And with a lot of, like, these massive open world games, I do understand a lot of that, because a game that has that much interactivity and is that big of a world and all this and all these, like, weird ways of interacting inherently has, I think, a higher chance of running into bugs and issues with that are not going to get caught by whatever your QA team is, because once it goes out to the world and it's a game that's popular enough to be played immediately by millions, like, more and more and more and more bugs are going to surface that people, like, their QA team might have just not found. And obviously, a lot of the bugs that have surfaced, the QA team absolutely knew about, CD Projekt Red absolutely knew about. But, like, it's one thing to release a game that still needs a little bit of polish to work, but to release a game that's so unfinished that it needs to be pulled from the store, essentially, I'm just going to call it unreleased.
Yeah.
To release a game that's in that bad of a state is embarrassing.
Yeah, and that's a new one. They unreleased a game.
They literally made history. They literally made history here by releasing a game that is so bad it had to be unreleased.
Yeah. And I do think they're going to keep going forward and improve the game.
Yeah, I absolutely do too. Like, I bet in a year Cyberpunk's going to be sick.
Yeah. And I hope it is, because I feel like the team behind the game really has a good idea for a game and a vision and stuff, and it sucks that they weren't able to achieve that so far, but, like, I don't want them to feel like shit for all the work they've done over the last 8 years.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, the game's got so much potential. Like, it looks cool. It looks fun. It's got a great, like, visual style to it. It's a concept that everybody's excited to play. It's just not done. That's it. It's just not done. It was just pushed a little too soon. And that's that. What I'm so kind of confused about is, though, like, if it was such a big deal to get it out this holiday season, right? Like, that's the big thing. They needed it with the new consoles, all this. They made their, according to a Reddit title that I read, they made their production costs and advertising budget back in 2 days of sales. So would another year of development really have hit them that hard? at the end of the day, like, I don't know. It feels like if you can make back your entire development cycle in 2 days, then you would have made it back in 2.5 days if you released it a year from now, right?
Yeah, you're probably not wrong. Like, but I think the big part of it was getting it out this season or this, because like all the work you did on the PS4 and Xbox One, if at all. I mean, it doesn't really
look
true.
Like they did. If it's a year from the release of the PS5, and then it's like, why even launch it on the PS4?
Exactly. So I think that's part of the issue, is like they didn't want to get it out on next. They didn't want to have to do past gen systems a year after.
And they wanted that past gen money before.
Mm-hmm. Before it went away.
Because if you're selling just to PS5 a year in, you're hitting a much smaller audience than PS4 7 years in, right? Like, everybody's got the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 right now. A year from now, a lot of people still aren't going to have the Xbox One and the PS5, or the Xbox Series X and the PS5.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Business, you know what? The suits, probably proud of themselves on this one. They got their game out. They made their money. The developers probably feeling a little rough. The PR team over at CD Projekt Red is probably working pretty tight shifts right now, probably a little stressed out, but this is a new one. This is a first in class, I think, situation here. First time we've ever seen a title this big have this poor of a reception from the actual console manufacturer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say I called it, but I called it. I had been saying for the last year or two, like, Cyberpunk is not a game I'm interested in. It's overhyped. It's not gonna meet the demands of the people. And I want to be wrong on that next year when they go back and fix things. But like the way it came out, just like, it's like, yep, I called all this. I'm psychic. I should have done a fucking prediction with channel points.
Well, you know what, maybe you were a little too quick on it. If they would have had that out on time, you could have.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, there are a few people that did. There's one person that happened to do one thing on time though.
Yeah,
and that's Rated R with some side questions. You like
lay
that transition?
It on me, Jaku. What do we got?
All right, sup nerds. January 21st, man. Can't use it after that.
I wish you would have mailed in sup virgins.
I think we could all agree that video games are a form of art. Playing a video game can bring out emotions just like any movie or TV show. With that being said, what video game story moment brought out the most emotion in you? It can be sadness, joy, etc. Your friend, and happy holidays, Rated R.
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays. So I will start with a story of the first time I saw the end of Super Mario Brothers 1.
Oh.
My neighbor across the street, I will not name names, but they know who they are. Their parents were like playing Mario 1 all week. And like they got to World 8 and like we knew that we had infinite lives. They knew we could do the infinite lives trick, you know, so not a big deal. But we got to World 8, and we eventually got to 8-4, and like all of us, like there was like 10 of us in the living room like watching them play this game and like beating it, and then like we cheered, and then it's like, oh, you get to play again, and we're like, what the fuck, you know, like, but it was the first time where like it was a big deal. Like all these other games that we played, like it was never playing a game when you were such a younger kid, the goal wasn't necessarily to beat it. I feel like it was just like, no, you play it to play it. But like, cause you're like, ah, oh, there's no way I can beat it. It was just so difficult. And so to see that and to have that, like to see that the game could be beaten was huge. It was a big emotional day for all of us.
Yeah. That's a really good one. It's funny too. Cause it's like, you have a whole Twitch stream worth of people hanging out in the living room, like getting into Mario 1 back in the day.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I can't think of like what my most emotional one was. I know Undertale hit me in a couple like serious ways. Sure. Like, that one was dope. Celeste definitely was a really powerful experience. But one that kind of sticks out to me, that was like two actually that were like really, really cool. And that I thought had fantastic endings that were like very emotional and like charged. were both Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword.
Okay.
I thought both of those games had endings that like really just perfectly tied the bow on the top of the game. And, you know, the whole interaction in Twilight Princess between Link and Midna, and that like they went from this weird like I'm using you relationship to we're friends relationship to like I'm gonna miss you kind of thing. And it was just like really sweet, right?
Yeah.
And same in Skyward Sword, when like, sure, everybody hated how annoying Fi or Fi, however it's pronounced, was the Master Sword. But like, dude, I got when she was like, I got to go in the sword forever now, bye bye, and I guess I'll never see you again. I was like, shit, that's rough. And they feel emotion for the first time or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, both of those are great endings. And like you said, like, yeah, Fi was pretty annoying, but like even still at the end of it all, you're like, as much as you annoy me, like that's sad. That's a sad story.
Yeah, exactly. As much like up until that point, I was like, oh man, I cannot wait to play a Zelda game with a different companion. Then that happened. I'm like, I'll miss you too. Yeah,
you know, Link's had a few companions in his time now. Midna and Fi come to mind, and I'm sure and the hat guy,
the hat, yeah, Ezio, I think,
yeah, so like how I want to see that game. I want a mashup of Zelda games. I want Hyrule Historians, but like it's like I don't know, like it's not like I don't want Hyrule Warriors where it's like kind of like all over the place, but I want like all of these characters to come into this universe and have all the timelines merge and like coexist and stuff, and like see Midna and Fi and the hat and all this crazy stuff.
Let me throw this at you. How about we have Paper Zelda, where the partners are all the various partners through the series instead of like a random Goomba and shit. Like you start off with having Navi, and then your second one could be Midna. You know, you got to give him something good early. Late game, you get Fi and she gives you some like the power to enhance your blade or something. Yeah, they all give you like cool abilities. I don't know why they don't do a Paper Zelda, man. It would be the perfect Paper Mario spinoff. It'd be such a great little. The idea has so much potential to just be perfect. If they did it like in Thousand Year Door style, it would be such a love letter to Thousand Year Door fans.
Yep.
And it would, I think it would sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen there's a mock-up that somebody's done of Paper Zelda.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's Mega 64 did it.
Really?
It was something 64.
I don't know if Mega 64 is like the podcast and the show. I don't know if they do like video mock-ups. Like this was like screenshots and stuff.
I saw like an animation mock-up of it. Like someone did like a 1 minute fake trailer of it, and it was sick.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was too. But either way, it looked sick. Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, like Paper Link could work. And like as much as I want Nintendo to do new things, like I think the Paper Mario series is cool, and like bring that to your other characters, because like you did it for Kirby and Yoshi. They both had yarn worlds. So fuck it. Give us a Yarn Link. I'll play that. I don't even care.
It'd be cool to get a Yoshi game that wasn't Yarn, though.
Oh, like, sure. Yeah.
Now like, we're two in, and it's like, come on, man. Like, I thought that was a one-off.
Yeah, it is kind of strange. They're like, yeah, nope, tricked you. I do want to see, like, an original Yoshi game with no, like, gimmick, just Yoshi. Because, like, that's the thing. We get a bunch of Mario games that's not really gimmicky. But with Yoshi's now, like, forever trapped in this Yarn world. Poor guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We went from Yarn to cardboard, and I'm hoping that whatever's next, like the Yarn one, I will say, like, I liked a lot more than the cardboard one, because the Yarn one had really, 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 really solid exploration and level design, and the challenge levels were super fun. Like, it felt the most like Yoshi's Island out of all of the various sequels to Yoshi's Island, right? Whereas the cardboard one felt like its own new game, but it just missed that Yoshi's Island feel that I was like really craving.
Right. Yep. But yeah, video game memories, man. Like, I'm sure, you know, I guess one other story, I guess, is like BioShock was definitely a game that was pretty cool to me. It was the first time in a video game that I really think like the story was like, I guess like, I mean, there had been games with story, like obviously, but like Final Fantasy games especially, but BioShock had something special, I guess, in that story to me, where it actually had like a huge twist and I don't know, it was built up very well. So like that was the first game I think that really stood out to me with a huge story and twist.
It was very artistic for sure. Yeah.
Portal was another game where like beating that was really fun and like emotional, and the song at the end was catchy as hell.
So and that was a short game too.
It was, but like, and that the I think the best thing about Portal was I bought the orange box not for Portal but for like TF2, and I'm like, oh, let's try this Portal game, and like I beat it in two nights. And I didn't want to like drop and stop playing the first night, but I had to. And so like, it was just like, that was cool. And like, that was neat. Cause it's like, I didn't buy this for this game, but this game became a big part of that experience. So.
Yeah, absolutely. The Orange Box was like probably one of the greatest pieces of gaming in that decade for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. What the fuck, Valve? Where are you at?
Now they're too busy keeping Dota, CSGO, and I guess TF2 is still going actually. So
yeah, TF2 is still going. There was an update. Yeah. We talked about that. So yeah, it's, I don't know. Games are interesting. And again, like anyone that's like, games aren't art. Like, what is art?
Right. It's been long enough since I've heard anyone make that. Like, I feel like it's pretty unanimous at this point where people just kind of accept it now.
Yeah, art's art, guys. It doesn't matter what it comes in. So, but yeah,
exactly.
You know what else is art?
This podcast.
Yep. And if you want extra art, you can subscribe to our Patreon. Pledge to our Patreon. Patreon.warp.world. Get extra art each week.
Yeah, we've got the special banter sections. It's about between like 7 to 15 minutes of just extra podcast content. Generally us shooting the shit together and with our guests about, you know, whatever's going on. And they've got, you know, just if you're craving more, you're really craving more. Obviously, this is the meat of the show. You get a full hour and a half with us most weeks here, but we do put a little bit of extra content up to reward the people who support us. And if you want to check it out, we would be so grateful if you did. Patreon.warp.world is where all that content is found. And lots of other benefits, too. If you're a streamer, check it out. There's lots of cool shit surrounding Warp World, crowd control, multi-queue, all that stuff.
Yeah, so go do it today.
Yes, and come back next week for the Warpies, your very much yearly anticipated yearly award show that we do, rewarding the greatest, most important awards to the greatest, most important achievements throughout the year. Awards like who had the best. I can't think of a single award we do right now. We're going to have to do that one now. Who did have?
Who had the best hat?
Who has all the hats? I feel he's got a monopoly. He's got a monopoly that one.
And also, don't forget that we are doing holiday hype at Warp World. So if you follow our Twitter, twitter.com/warpworld, you will find a new announcement every single day. And when this episode drops, there will have been a new giveaway you could be part of. If you are watching on Twitch right now, there is a giveaway you could be part of right now to win a free Game Boy Color, a copy of the Warp World Catastrophe game created by Proximity Sound, and a SteelSeries headset.
Yeah,
so
pretty sweet cool prizes. Stuff. And there's another giveaway coming next week. If you're listening to the podcast, it's already live if you're listening on Monday. So check the Twitter. All you got to do is go, you know, do the standard shit, follow the Twitter and retweet the thing to enter. It's the easiest way you're ever going to get a free prize. Maybe there's a good chunk of people who enter. So
some people get free prizes without doing anything. So I don't know if it's the easiest. So full disclosure, that is not binding. But regardless, it's free. So do
it. Yeah. All right. Well, that's episode 178 in the books. Thanks for listening to our ending spiel. Thanks for listening to our whole show. We'll see you next week with Grand Pooh Bear. And it's just going to be a great show. I'm excited to wrap up the holiday here with the awards.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
See ya.